Well, I'd like you to take your Bibles this morning, John chapter 5. And you know, the Lord has put on my heart over the past couple of months a theme that I want to carry into the new year, carry into 2019. And really the theme is this, and we'll be talking more about it down the road, but it's beyond these walls. It's going beyond these walls. You know, we just redid our auditorium, got some new paint on the walls and everything looks great. But you know, God has called us to do ministry outside of here, beyond these walls. And so I want us to be thinking about that in the new year. We are going to be really focusing and concentrating on how do we get our church into the community. You know, several years ago, I think it was 2005, Tammy and I had gone on a missions trip to Hungary, and we had had a foreign exchange student in 03 from Germany. And so we went and we spent a week with her family, and they took us to Berlin. And I'll tell you, that was an amazing, amazing trip to go there. And, you know, we hear all the quotes of President Reagan when he said, "Gorbachev, tear down that wall," and all of that. And you know, to go there and to actually see the wall and to realize, you know, it was only about this thick and only about this high. And yet it was amazing. But I never really understood all there was about the wall. But I tell you, we went to Checkpoint Charlie, and this really, I mean, it truly moved me when I saw this at Checkpoint Charlie, that this is where the checkpoint would be to go from east to west, Berlin and so forth. But they had murals painted along a fence or a wall there, and it was pictures of the actual wall as it was being built. And they would show and see, what we don't understand is it would be like building a wall right down Morton Avenue or something like that, and doing something like that. And what we don't realize and understand is that families might live just across the street from each other, or cousins or parents and things like that. Well, when they built that wall, you see at the Checkpoint Charlie the pictures of people that would get step ladders, and they would go out and they would climb up on those step ladders and wave goodbye to their families, not knowing when they would ever see them again. It will bring tears to your eyes when you go there and you feel that and you experience that. I remember Judy's father, his name's Wolfgang Schmuckel, and Wolfgang, he's a runner and he loves to run. And we went to the gate there where Reagan gave the speech and Michael Jackson held the baby over the balcony, you remember? Okay, so we were there, and it was just awesome. But I remember Wolfgang telling me the first time he was able to run and he could go through that gate, he said, "Oh, my heart, it just pounded. It just pounded." We can't imagine what that was like for those folks, for those people. I just can't imagine that. And yet, those walls were built up, and they divided the people. It's not the same as the wall that we're talking about down along the southern border, okay? That's a different situation. But when we think about that, and I think about Checkpoint Charlie, it brings tears to my eyes to think about how these walls went up and people could see their families just on the other side, but they could not reach them or do anything about it. Slowly, the walls, they went up, and family no longer could see each other. They were isolated from one another. And I think about that, and I ask myself, is that what is happening to even the New Testament church? As I have read and done some studies, there's been lots of surveys and research that has been done. But really today in our culture, because society has changed because of technology, all of the things, the environment, church really in America has really, for the most part, as far as culture and society is concerned, it has really become irrelevant. People really don't worry about whether they go to church or not. They don't really even know much about the church. They really don't know. They don't understand the church, and they, you know, and so the church, accidentally, we have become irrelevant. And here's why I bring up the Berlin Wall. It is kind of as though the church, we have unintentionally, not on purpose, but unintentionally, we have built walls up around us. We have built these walls around us, and we have slowly withdrawn ourselves from the community. We have withdrawn ourselves from being involved in the community. We have withdrawn ourselves, and so now we are in our, you know, our confines here. We might, it sounds kind of bad, but we might think of it as, you know, here we are as a church, and we're on our compound, you know, or whatever. That sounds bad, but that's kind of what has happened, not with just West Fair Baptist Church, but most churches in the United States are experiencing that. And so the churches have become irrelevant. They're not reaching people. They're not impacting lives as I believe the Lord intends for us to do. Now, the church is living, if you would, in a kind of a cocoon. We have isolated ourselves, and we have become, and this is a real danger, church, we have become internal. What do I mean by that? I'll share a lot more about this tonight, but we become internal, and we are focused on preserving what we have. We are focused on maintaining what we have. We're not focused on reaching out. We're not focused on being involved outside or beyond the walls. I have a theme for this year. It's beyond these walls, from the seat to the streets, all right? And so we need to do that. We need to take the church into the community. And there are times, our times are changing, and society has changed. Technology has changed. Folks don't go to church like they used to. They watch church on the internet and things like that. Technology, the economy, the environment that we're in, all of these things have changed. And even religion, and we live in a generation, the millennial generation is different than the generation that I grew up in and many of you grew up in. The millennial generation is a generation that wants to know why, and they want things explained to them. They want to understand. They have a different outlook than we did. Boomers, we did it because a traditionalist said to do it, right? I watch some people today, and they'll ask their parents, you know, well, why? Well, if I were to ask my parents, well, why, that was considered disrespectful, right? You didn't ask why, unless you wanted your eyes to be on the other side of your head. But that's not how it is today, and that's okay. I don't think that the millennials are trying to be disrespectful. They just want to know why. They just want to understand it, and that's a good thing. But that's the generation that we're reaching now. People no longer see church as being relevant or applicable to them. They're happy living their lives without the church. They don't need to go to church, and it's really not impacting their lives at all. It's not necessary. Thus, we have all of the things that we have on Sundays and everything else, every other night of the week or whatever. A church has become irrelevant. Now, I ask you a question. If West Fair Baptist Church were gone, if we were to close our doors, let's say at the end of the month, we were to shut down, how badly would that impact Jacksonville? I want to ask you, you know, that question again. How bad would that impact the city of Jacksonville and the surrounding communities if we shut down January 31st. Would the community even notice that we're gone? You see, if the answer to that is they may not, that's not a good answer. We need to be a church that if we were gone, the community would miss this church. That's what we need to be. I've got a few pictures here. When I moved to Manchester like 20-some years ago, there was a guy in our church that mowed his yard with one of these real mowers. I'm like, holy cow, where did I move to? Is this like, you know, Little House on the Prairie or what? But he mowed his yard with that. What about a horse and wagon? You know, can you imagine? I just finished a book about George Washington. And I listened to how he went and where he went and how much he traveled, all of these places. And it's like he was doing all of that on horseback and there was no interstate. Then, you know, what about a lantern? How many of you, when you get up early in the morning, you light a lantern and walk around the house with that? That'd be ridiculous. But church, listen to me. I want us to catch this. I want us to understand this. We would not, I don't hope nobody uses that kind of mower, and some of you may have a horse and wagon, and that's okay. And if you use a lantern, that's okay. But I'm telling you, that's kind of how the church is doing things. We're doing things that people used to do 100 years ago. And we try to do things and we think about things that were done 45 or 50 years ago. And we think that's how we do church. But I want to share with you, that's not what works today. That doesn't, the message has not changed. The gospel has not changed. But the methods of how we do it have changed. And the way people hear and the way they listen and how a millennial will understand what you're saying or doing is different than it was in when boomers were growing up. It is done differently. We're doing a church like we did 50 years ago and it doesn't work. People don't, some do, but most, the majority. This church used to have 9 buses and go all over the place. That won't work today. People are reluctant to put their kids on buses, especially the kinds of buses you guys used to run. They're not going to do that. And so our culture has changed. And so there's new ways of doing ministry. And doing church like we did it 45 years ago is just as silly as going out here and mowing our field with a real mower. It doesn't make sense. And so the message is the same, but the methods have certainly changed. And we need to get the church out of the building and into the community that we serve. And that means change. And nobody likes change, do they? Some don't even like to change their clothes. But change is tough. Well, go to John chapter 5. I better get going. My time's running out. That was all introduction, all right? In John chapter 5, I'll take this with me, all right? In John chapter 5, I want us to look at something here that Jesus asked this gentleman. In verse number 1, John 5, beginning in verse number 1, it says this. After this, there was a feast of the Jews in Jerusalem And Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda. We have Bethesda Hospital out in the naval yard. Called Bethesda, having the 5 porches in these in these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, and waiting for the moving of the water. Verse number 4, for an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water, and then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now, we don't know, that may have been tradition, whether that actually they were made well or not. We don't know that, but that may have been what they felt, that when that water got stirred, that that would happen. Now look at verse number 5. Now a certain man was there who had excuse me, an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, and this is the great question here, do you want to be made well? Jesus didn't ask him if he wanted to walk. He said, do you want to be made well? The sick man, he answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. And Jesus said to him, rise and take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well. He took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. Becoming well, I want us to think about it. And that day was the Sabbath. Now, Jesus did this. He tells the man to take up his bed and to walk. Now, I want you to think about something here, and this is really the point I want us to grasp a hold of. Here's a fella that for 38 years, he has been, someone has had to take him and put him on his mat by the pool Bethesda. And there he is, he's sitting on this mat, lying on this mat. And not only was it him, but there were all sorts of other folk. There were other people that were diseased. There were blind that were there. There were those that were paralyzed as he was. And so there was a multitude of people there. Now think about this. Someone had to bring him there for 38 years. That's a long time. We don't know what happened. If he had polio or some disease or something such as that, but he could not walk. And every day, he would go to the pool of Bethesda and hope to be able to get to the water when it was stirred so that he would be healed. That was his hope. For 38 years, that's what he did. For 38 years, he probably also was a beggar. For 38 years, that was the crowd he hung out with, was all the ones there at the pool Bethesda. So for 38 years, we don't know much about his family, if he had a family, if his parents left him there or what, but you know, he spent a lot of time there. Now, what I want you to catch and I want you to see is Jesus comes to him, and he says, do you want to be well? Jesus didn't say, do you want to walk? Of course he wanted to walk. Of course he did. But Jesus says to him, do you want to be made well? Now, I want you to think about this. As a church, if we are missing the mark of getting into our community, if we're not reaching the lost as we ought to, and I don't think we are, just honest. I don't think we're reaching the lost like we should or could. And so think about that. If the Lord were to come into our congregation today and say to Westfair Baptist Church, do you want to be made well? Well, I didn't know we were sick. I didn't know we had a problem. I'm not saying we have a problem, and I'm not saying that we're totally sick. I think good things are happening and God's working and moving, and I'm very, very encouraged. Well, what I want us to think about is if the Lord were to say, do you want to be made well? And if you and I as a congregation were to say to the Lord, yes, we want to be made well. That is, God, we want to be, I want to be the individual that you want me to be. And I want my family to be the family that you want us to be. And I want our church to be the church that you want us to be. And I want us to be a church that is impacting our community and reaching the lost for Christ. I want that to happen. It's kind of as though we are just like that fella that the Lord says, do you want to be well? And he did want to be well. Church, listen to me. If we want to be well, if we want to be well where we are the church that is making the impact on our community, if we want to be well spiritually and healthy spiritually, where, you know what, Manchester, what happened? I lost my mind for a minute. I forgot where I was, all right? But if somehow we were to say, you know, hey, Westford Baptist Church closed, and it makes no difference to anybody, then that's a problem. Then we're not doing what God has called us to do. And so my point today is if we want to become the church that is going beyond these walls to do ministry, then that means change. And sometimes that's hard. Now, I'm not talking about changing our music. I'm not talking, hey, trust me, we've had a lot of change around here, haven't we? You're not sitting in pews today. So we've had a lot of change. But what I'm talking about, when I talk about change, I'm talking about changing our thinking, changing our mindset, and changing some of the things that we put focus on to being where maybe the Lord would have us to be focused beyond the walls. All right, well, my time is slipping, so I want to go. If you have a paper there and you want to jot these things down, I want you to think about these. You see, becoming well, it meant change for this man. And becoming well for a church means change for the church as well. Where this man spent his time, he would no longer need to spend his time at the pool of Bethesda. He would no longer probably spend his time with those that were paralyzed or those that were blind. He would need to go, excuse me, and work. He wouldn't just be able to beg. He would need to go. So his entire life was changing. What he focused on would need to change. His focus for 38 years was to get to that pool before anybody else. And now that he's well, that focus is not there. The focus is totally different. Maybe his focus, it might have become, maybe I could help some of these others get to the pool quickly. Or maybe somehow I could carry my buddy that I've been sitting with for 38 years, maybe I could carry him down to the pool. Or maybe somehow I could guide this person that's blind down there. You see, his whole thinking, his whole outlook had to change. And even what he would do and how he would live, it all changed. And I'm telling you, church, when we become a church that's beyond these walls and we're focused on impacting the community for the cause of Christ, that changes us. It changes where we spend our money. It changes how we do things. It changes our philosophy. Well, where he would live changed, and how others would see him, all of that changed. Well, let's go to the application here for us as a church and talk about it. You see, getting well changes where we spend our time. I want you to think about that. Getting well changes where you spend your time. If you're going to get well spiritually, you need to spend your time in the Word of God. You need to spend your time in prayer. If you're getting well spiritually, we as a church, we need to change where we spend our time. Maybe we're spending so much time on things that we need to refocus. We need to rekindle. We need to focus our time and spend our time on things outside of the walls of our church. Now, for the first few years that I've been here, we've focused a lot of our time on getting our facilities caught up and getting our facilities in nice shape. And you can do both of those things at the same time, and I believe we are, and we have, and will continue to. But now that we've achieved some of those things through the Lord's help, I really feel challenged that we need to look at how do we focus our time. Now, look at this next thing. It changes also who we spend our time with. You know, one of the problems that we have, and I see it because as I look at the generations, those of you that were my age or younger back in 1975 when you did have the 9 buses and all of that, and that you guys did an awesome job of reaching into the community. Think about that. You took 9 buses to Whitehall, to Maradosia, to everywhere around here. What was happening? The church was getting into the community. Now, buses might not work today, but there's other ways that we need to, as a church, get into the community. So many of you, led fellow workers, you worked together and you were saved together. You witnessed to one another. Now you're retired and you're not around people like that like you were. But those of us that are younger and that are, you know what, maybe, you know, unfortunately we get so focused on the church, that many of us don't really ever spend any time with unchurched people. And that should change. We need to have an impact where we go and we focus on spending time with unchurched people, people that need to hear the gospel. It changes also what we focus on. We can focus so much on on all of our things, and there's nothing wrong with our Bible studies. There's nothing wrong with the things that we do internally, our small groups and our growth groups. There's nothing wrong with those. Those are all very, very important. But we've got to stop and ask, what am I? What are you focused on? How can you focus on something in the community that would have an impact in small ways? It doesn't have to be huge. Look at the next thing. It changes how we do things. It changes how we go about ministry and how we do things. And so if we're going to have an impact into the community, how we go about things, how we spend our finance, how we spend our money, how we spend our time, our energy, and our focus, it changes. And so I ask you this morning, do we as a church want to be well? Do we want to be well? Church, do you want to be well? Do you want to be well? Okay, thank you. I feel a lot better. All right, I'll be able to rest this afternoon maybe, all right? I'm going to ask the musicians to come if they would at this time. And then I have just one story I'll share with you. I encourage you to come back this evening because I'm going to illustrate it a lot more, what I'm talking about and our focus and how to do some of those things. You say, Pastor, I'm usually taking a nap. That's okay. Try to come if you can. We'd love to have you. We have a pretty good time on Sunday night, all right? You know, as a church, in order to get well, we have to understand that we need to make some changes and some adjustments. We need to get the church out. I think of those Berlin walls and how those walls went up and how even unintentionally we build walls around our church. You know, if we were to go and find out, you know, and it amazes me. Westfair's been here since, what, 1967 or something like that? It still amazes me to talk with people in Jacksonville that don't even know we're here. Has anybody else done that? I have. That's crazy. Everybody should know we're here. We need to be the best church that we can be for our community and reaching the lost around us. I don't want us just to sit like the folks at the Berlin Wall and wave by as walls are built up around us. We need to take those walls down. We need to look past those walls. And we need to ask ourselves, as a church, how can we impact our community? Things that used to work, they don't work quite the same as they did. The message hasn't changed, but the method of how we reach people has certainly changed. I encourage you, come back this evening. I want to talk about, would you like a window seat or an aisle seat? And I'll explain that tonight a little bit about how we can make some of that transition and what we do. All right, let's stand together if we could. And the message is certainly not one of salvation, but I want to share with you, if you're here and you're not saved, and you know that, you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, my friend, that's really why this church was started and is here, is to give folk an opportunity to be saved, to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. My friends, I encourage you and I challenge you, if you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, would you come today? I'll have someone take you. We'll go to a prayer room and they can show you the scriptures of how you can know, how you can settle that, how you can know for sure that you're saved. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been saved, but you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. We had some others a while back be baptized. Praise the Lord. Maybe you need to follow him. That's your next thing you need to do. Would you present yourself today for believer's baptism that we might set that up and see you follow the Lord? Others, maybe you need to make this your church home. Been looking around and trying, but maybe this is where you just know this is where God wants you. My friend, would you present yourself for being a part of this family here? So whatever the Lord challenges you to do, whatever he's speaking to your heart about today, I just ask that you would do what the Lord wants, not to impress me or anything like that, but just do what God wants you to. Father, as we come before you, we thank you, Lord, for the day that you have given to us. Father, I pray for those that are here this morning and they did not know Christ as our Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray that they would just sense a love in this place, that, Father, that they would sense a desire that, Lord, you would bring conviction to their heart, that they would desire to be saved, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would reach down and convict them. Father, for others that need to make decisions, Lord, would you help them today to make that decision for you? And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.